Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. That was pretty good, but I believe in you. I think you got even more in you. Good morning. There you go. Thank you for humoring me. My name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors at Next Level. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, so honored that you're here today and would love to meet you after the service. I'll be out around the lobby. Today we're continuing a series, but before we dive into it, what I want to do is give you a chance to talk to God. And I don't know if that's like weird for you. I don't know if you're like, I didn't come here to do that. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't even know what to say. I hope that you'll show us a little bit of grace, because when you come to church, you should expect some prayer will take place at some point. So I hope that you'll understand that this, you came to us, we're not forcing this on you. But I want to give you a chance to talk to God. And this is why. It takes a lot sometimes to come to church. You could do a lot of other things besides be here today, but you're here. And you could be sleeping in or working at your house, or you could be doing something, but you're here today. So if you're here, wouldn't you want to experience an encounter with God? I mean, I don't want to just go through the motions. I have other things in my life that I could do than just sit through something for an hour. If we're here, let's hear from God. And so I want to give you a chance to ask Him to speak to you. And something that I do before I engage with God in a service like this is I say a simple prayer, and the prayer is simply this: God, please speak to my heart, and would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? And I want to invite you guys to pray that same thing. God, speak to my heart, and give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do. Would you guys take a few seconds just to pray and talk to God? God, it's so cool that you can hear all of our prayers at the exact same time. And God, for those who are just strong in their faith and have no doubt, I just ask that you would speak to them in a personal way. And for those, God, who are barely holding on to any faith that are here today, God, would you speak to their hearts? God, we don't need the same message. We need an individual message from you. And so would you just say what we need to hear? And would you give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do, no matter how difficult it is? We thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're new, I want to invite you to participate in something we call YouVersion, and it is a free app that allows you to get a little bit more out of what you're about to experience. All the scriptures I'm about to cover are in there. There's a place to take notes. You can also give us prayer requests. You can give online. There's a question of the week. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there. If you're a regular attender, go ahead and open up YouVersion. If you're new, the steps are up there on the screen. You can follow those along. Today, we continue our series, The New Rules for Surviving Christmas Dinner. And at Next Level Church, our mission is to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference. And it's the middle part of that mission statement that we're focusing on in this series. It's loving people. I don't know about you, but I didn't take a class on how to love people well. You take a class to do a lot of other things. You take classes to learn how to drive, and yet still driving is difficult for a lot of people in Virginia. Would you guys agree? Okay? And yet we all took a class. And so relationships are tricky, and relationships are sticky, and relationships are messy. And yet there is no required class to say, hey, this is what you should do. This is how you should behave. And so this whole series is about trying to help us have healthy relationships. Ultimately, it's about how to learn to love people. And I don't know about you, but I come in contact with annoying people. Like, it's hard to avoid them. There are times when people do things, and it's like you put a smile on your face, but inside you're just thinking, I want to ninja kick you 5 times in the face. Like, on the outside I'm smiling, but on the inside, this is so annoying. And it bothers us when we get annoyed, because we can't understand, how can they be so annoying and not know it? Like, how do they not know that this behavior is causing me such frustration? I wish in relationships that I could treat annoying people the way that Jim treated Dwight. Anyone a fan of The Office, the TV show The Office? Okay, a handful of you. I love the TV show The Office. It's off the air now, but I still find myself sometimes at night, right before I go to bed, I'll get on Netflix, and I'll watch an episode of The Office. And I was watching one this week, and it just made me think, like, it made me almost envy this character named Jim, because he has an annoying person in his life, and the way he responds is the way I wish I could respond. And in case you have never seen The Office, or you just kind of forgot, it's been a while, I think you'll be able to relate to this clip. Check this out.
Hey, it's snowing.
Oh my God, it's the first snowfall of Christmas. Is that just so magical for you, little girl? Can you not wait to have a hot chocolate and cuddle up with Papa and tell him about all your Christmas dreams? Hmm? It's not even real snow. Look, it's dusting. It's pitiful.
Hey, Dwight.
Oh!
Sammy, you cannot throw snowballs in here.
Well, it's not a snowball, because it's only a dusting, right?
Look at that. There's a pebble in there. You could have killed me.
Oh, don't be such a baby.
Yeah, who's a little girl now?
Wouldn't that be awesome to treat people that way? No, that's not the right message. That's not. Man, there are times when you come in contact with someone that is so annoying and you want to do that to them, but the truth is we don't live in a sitcom. And if you acted the way you really wanted to act towards an annoying person, you would go to jail, you would get fired, like something bad would happen to you. And so we have to restrain, we have to resist. And since none of us have taken any classes on how to handle those annoying people in our life, and since Christmas is coming and you have invited people to your house that you might be related to, but they might be so annoying, this series is trying to help us learn how to have relationships in a healthy way. And we kicked this series off 2 weeks ago with rule number one. And I would like for you just to humor me. If you've been here, if you're new, you don't have to participate at all. But if you've been here and you were here 2 weeks ago, does anyone remember? You can just shout it out. What was rule number one? Believe the best. I believe in the rest of you who did not answer. I'm believing the best about you. I believe that you knew the answer, you just were being a little shy. You wanted other people to succeed. And so it's going to come on the screen, and now you can just read it and pretend like you remembered it, okay? Will you just humor me? Rule number one is? I will choose to believe the best. In life, someone is going to annoy you, someone's going to bother you, someone's going to do something that offends you. And in that moment, you have to choose to believe the best. I will believe that they are not an evil person, that they've been possessed by the devil himself. I'm going to believe the best about them. This is difficult for us because we are, by nature, people who do not believe the best about others. When someone hurts you, instantly you want to make them a villain. Instantly you want to say, they did that on purpose, they knew that would hurt me, I can't believe they were late again. And you want to turn someone who has harmed you, who's annoyed you, who's bothered you, you want to turn them, that is natural for us to turn them into a villain. It is natural for us to jump to the worst conclusion possible. It reminds me of a story I heard a long time ago, way back in 2008. There was a woman who was shopping, and she went grocery shopping, and then she ended up at the mall. And she sat in her car for a while, and someone else drives up into the mall. It was another woman, and the woman drives up into the parking space, and she notices this woman, and she notices she's just sitting in her car, and the car's not running, and it was a really hot summer day, and the woman is sweating, but her eyes are closed, and so she just assumed maybe she's taking a nap. Well, the woman gets out of her car. She goes into the mall. She does shopping for a little bit over an hour. She comes out of the mall, and when she comes back, the woman is still sitting in her car, in the seat of her car. And she knocks on the window, and she says, ma'am, are you okay? And at this point, the woman is just crying, and she is sweating profusely, and she says, I'm not okay. She said, I've been shot. She said, someone shot me in the back of the head, and I felt it, and I instantly reached up to grab my head, and I am literally holding in my brains right now. If I let go, my brains are going to come out. And she was panicked. And so the woman has so much, like she's just so concerned about her. She runs into the mall. She calls the paramedics. She calls the police. They run out, and they open up this woman's door. They had to break the door because it was locked. When they opened up the door, they found that the woman had not been shot. You see, she went grocery shopping before she went to the mall, and in the back seat of her car was a canister of biscuits. And the heat caused the biscuits to pop open. And can I just take a time out and just say that when you're opening up the Pillsbury biscuits and it makes that pop, it is the scariest noise in the history of the world. Like, we're in 2015. Can we not invent a quieter way to open biscuits? Like, it is a heart attack every time. And so this woman hears this pop. It's the biscuits. Well, the heat causes the biscuits to fly into the air and hit her in the back of the head. So when they hit her, she thought that was the bullet hole. And when she reached back, she felt a lump of biscuits, and she thought that was her brain. The woman sat in her car for over an hour holding what she thought was her brains, but it was nothing but biscuits. And that's what we do. We jump to the worst conclusion possible. We hold on to things and say, oh, that's it. I've been shot, when it's nothing but biscuits. We assume the worst about other people. And as a Christian, what we looked at week one is that you are called to believe the best. You're called not to jump to the farthest conclusion possible. You're called to believe that they do have some good in them, that they didn't intentionally do that, and you are going to choose to believe the best. It was biscuits. Biscuits. That led us to rule number two, though. And before it comes on the screen, does anyone remember rule number two? Just shout it out. Thank you very much. It's going to come on the screen for the rest of us to participate. Number two is, read it out loud. I will talk to the person and not about the person. When someone doesn't meet your expectation, when someone doesn't play by your rules, when someone offends you or annoys you or bothers you, you're going to believe the best about them. But when that doesn't work, when they're still doing the same behavior, it is up to you to then talk to them. You don't talk about them. And the natural tendency that we have is to talk to everybody but the person that's offended us. And the problem with that is when you talk to everybody else, it doesn't solve the problem. The only way you can solve the problem is when you talk to the person who's offended you or who's wronged you. Now, if you're a people pleaser like me, I'm a recovering people pleaser, this is like terrifying. Like, this is a scary thing. Like, I can't confront them. And the reason that it's so fearful to confront someone is because I have this thought in my mind that if I confront them about their behavior, they're going to get mad and the relationship will end. And if you're a people pleaser, if you have that same fear about confronting someone in love, remembering you're not crucifying them, you're not screaming and yelling at them, you're talking to them about an issue to restore the relationship. If you have a fear that that person is going to leave, that is not a true relationship. And if the person does leave after you confront them in love, you didn't have a relationship to begin with. True relationships will actually appreciate when you bring something to the table to make the relationship better. If someone huffs and puffs and gets mad at you and angry and just says, I can't believe you would get offended by that. I can't believe you brought that up. If that happens and they leave and they say, we're no longer friends, you didn't have a friendship to begin with. A true, deep, healthy relationship can withstand a little conflict. And so as a Christian, we looked at this last week, that you as a Christian are called to talk to the person and not about the person, that you bring your issues, your problems to them with the goal of resolving it. Joe Palca is the author of Annoying, the Science of What Bugs Us. And in his research, he says the most annoying people are those who are unpredictable, unreliable, who will criticize you or stab you in the back. The most annoying people out there are those who are unpredictable, unreliable, who will criticize you or stab you in the back. Now, notice what he did not say. He did not say the most annoying people are the ones who confront you in love. It didn't make the list. Someone that comes to you and says, hey, there's some tension in our relationship, and maybe it's me, maybe it's you, I don't really know what's going on, but there's some difficulties in the relationship. Someone that confronts you is not considered to be annoying. You know what's annoying? It's people who criticize you behind your back, and it's people who talk about you behind your back, and it's people who stab you in the back. Those people are not trustworthy, and those people ultimately are the most annoying people. But as a Christian, if you've been saved by God, we're called to confront in a loving way, to have a conversation, to work out the relationship. And that leads to rule number three. Is anyone ready to hear rule number three? I'm going to believe the best about you. I had an expectation that you were going to be really excited and you didn't meet my expectation. And I'm just going to assume that it's because you didn't hear me, because my accent maybe caused you not to understand what I was saying. So I'm implying that I want you to at least pretend to get excited about point number three. And so let's try it again. Anyone want to hear rule number three? There we go. Rule number three is, I will put myself in their shoes. I will put myself in their shoes. Now, this rule is a phrase that comes from the definition of the word empathy. And I want us to look at the definition of empathy. Empathy simply says this: the ability to step into the shoes of another person, aiming to understand their feelings and perspectives, and to use that understanding to guide our actions. Empathy is putting yourself in someone else's shoes. And I want to make a huge point here before we dive in any further. Empathy does not mean that you agree with the other person. Empathy does not mean that the other person is right. Empathy does not mean that what the other person believes is true. Empathy doesn't have anything to do with them, and it has everything to do with you. That you are going to put yourself in their shoes, that you're going to do your best of your ability to say, I don't understand why they would believe that. I don't understand why they would say that, but I'm going to try to understand it by putting myself in their shoes. This is so stinking helpful for you coming up on Christmas dinner, because you may have a relative or a coworker or a neighbor who comes over, and they may bring up politics in the middle of Christmas dinner, and they may say, well, I'm voting for so-and-so, and in your mind, you're going to think, are you crazy? How would you vote for them? I don't know anyone that would vote for that person. That person's a joke. What? And you're going to want to debate them and argue with them. That's not going to be healthy at Christmas dinner. What is going to be healthy is for you to take a second and say, you know, I would never vote for that person, but let me put myself in your shoes for a second. Maybe your background, maybe your upbringing, let me understand why you would vote for them. And I may disagree with it, but I'm going to try to put myself in your shoes to understand where you're coming from. Empathy. And this is going to be hit on really big in our text for today. Our text is written by a guy by the name of Paul. And at Next Level, we say that Paul is a PTP, or that stands for primetime player. And he's a primetime player because he wrote over half of what we call the New Testament. Now, I want to give you a little bit of context to who Paul is, especially if you're new to the church. I think this context is going to help these verses come to life. Because it's so easy sometimes to hear a verse from some guy that's been dead for 2,000 years and just say, well, he doesn't know what I experienced. He doesn't know what I go through. But Paul does know what you go through. In fact, Paul was in the middle of some awkward relationships. Paul's history, based off what we know about him, is that Paul started off, the very first time we meet him, he started off persecuting and approving of the death of Christians. So he was going around the country and arresting people simply for being a Christian. On one of his journeys to arrest some Christians, he meets Jesus. He sees the light and he becomes a Christian. After he becomes a Christian, he goes from persecuting Christians to leading Christians. Now, just for a second, let's just imagine how awkward that Bible study would be. Okay? Just imagine this scenario. Hey, guys, tonight for Bible study, we're going to have a guest speaker. And some of you might know him. He arrested your parents. And in fact, our leader couldn't be here tonight because Paul approved of his death. And that's our speaker for tonight. I hope that we can show him a lot of grace because he has a great word that he's going to bring from God. I mean, how awkward would that be to be sitting in a meeting with someone who approved of your parents dying or who approved of your Bible study leader or your pastor being thrown in prison? How awkward would that be? And yet Paul dealt with these awkward situations and these awkward relationships, and he went from persecuting Christians to leading Christians. And in one of his most famous letters, his letter to the church in Rome, Paul writes this, Romans 12:9. He says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Now, did you catch what Paul just said? Paul said, don't just pretend to love other people. Don't just put a smile on your face and just say, hey, how's it going? Oh, yeah, everything's going great. And love you mean it. Have a great day. But on the inside, you're saying, man, I can't stand them. Don't pretend to love other people. Genuinely, truly love people. But that's not the difficult part. The difficult part is what he says next. He says, not only are you called to love people, but you got to really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. That screams empathy. How in the world do you hate something that is wrong, hold to something that is good, and still love someone who believes something different than you? The only way to do that is through empathy. Empathy says, not that what you believe is right. Empathy says, I believe in you. Even though you're wrong, I'm going to show you love. Now, this is so difficult, but it's so needed in our culture today. Because there are lots of people who believe differently than you. In fact, if you're like me and you're a Christian and you're doing your best to live your life based off the teachings of Scripture, there are more and more people who are anti what you believe. And there are some pretty specific verses in the Bible. Not everything in the Bible is black and white. Some of the stuff we've been arguing about for thousands of years. But there are some things that are really, really clear. And they say this is sin, or they say this is not sin. And some of those things our culture is embracing today. And in those moments when you know someone who is embracing something that is contrary to what you believe, how are you going to treat that person? Most people would say, well, if they don't believe what you believe, then they're on the wrong team. They need to be judged. They need to be told how wrong they are. You need to show them anger. And I would just say that Paul is saying that you need to love people. And listen, you still hold to what is right. You hold to what is true. You don't compromise what you believe. You still hate the things that you believe are wrong. But at the same time, you love people who disagree with you. Is this easy? No. But is it needed in our culture? Yes. Because you know what we love to do? In our culture today, we love to make people the villain. And if someone disagrees with you, we find a way to make them evil to their core. Listen, you don't have to agree with people to be friends with them. You don't. I have friends who are atheists. We believe very different things. I have friends who do not believe in the creation account in the Bible like I do, and yet we're still friends. I have friends who accept things that I believe are sin, and yet they embrace them, and yet we're still friends. friends. Why? Is it because I'm approving of everything that they're doing? No, it's because I love them, and ultimately I want what's best for them. Just think about this just for a second. If you were involved in something that was not God's best, how would you want people to respond to you? Would you want people to be angry and to yell and scream at you, or would you want someone to say, listen, even though we don't agree, I'm going to show you love? Whenever there is someone who is not experiencing God's best in the world, your only reaction that makes any sense as a Christian is for your heart to break. Because ultimately, when people aren't experiencing God's best, they are suffering in this world. They're not experiencing the best that God has for them in this world. So why would you get angry at them? They're the ones that are missing out on God's best, not you. And so as you disagree, as you say, well, I would never do that. I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you voted that way. I can't believe you lived that way. As you're thinking these thoughts, you've got to put yourself in their shoes and say, I would never do that. But ultimately, my heart breaks for them because they're not experiencing the best that God has for them right now today. And our heart... Don't just pretend to love other people. Truly love them. Love them even when you don't like what they do. Is this easy? No, but it's so needed. We are called as Christians to find a way to put ourselves in their shoes. And this is so important because when someone lives in a way that is contrary to how you believe, it is so easy to just dismiss them and just say, oh, they're evil. I can't believe they would do that. But just for a second, try to put yourself in their shoes. If you had their upbringing, if you went through what they went through, if you had their parental situation, if you grew up in their hometown, if you experienced the hurt and pain that they did, you might be who they are. And so just because you didn't experience it and just because you came to a different conclusion does not mean that they are evil to the core. It means that you show them empathy. You find a way to show them love while you hold to what is good. You can let them know, hey, listen, even though we disagree, I still love you. I'm not changing how I view things, but I'm not going to love you just because you agree with me, or just because you do what I do. Paul goes on to write some specifics of how we're supposed to do this in Romans 12, 10 through 13. He says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Now, those are just some great rules. There is so much great truth in there. There's just some things that we should practice. There's some things that we should put into effect. Some of you are natural at showing hospitality, and others of you are not. And Paul would say, every one of us, if you call yourself a Christian, if you're here today and say, yep, that's the box I would check. I am a Christian. If that's you, you are called to work at hospitality. That is, you are to host people, to welcome people in, and not just people that look like you or act like you or vote like you, people that even are different, completely different to the way that you view this world. You are to show them hospitality, and you are to love each other with genuine affection. That means that you don't just fake it. You don't just walk in and put a smile on your face and say, hey, it's kind of nice to see you. No, you genuinely care about people. You genuinely care that they've come to your house. You genuinely care that they're at your church. You genuinely care that you're friends with them on Facebook. You genuinely love other people. And you take delight in honoring them. Well, how different would our world be if we focused on honoring other people? How different would our world be if we said, listen, I don't agree with anything you stand for, but yet I'm going to lift you up ahead of myself. I'm going to find a way to honor who you are as a human being. Honoring other people. But in the middle of this thing, Paul gives us all these things that we're supposed to be working on, that we're supposed to be strengthening and making better. And in the middle of it, he says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord. Now, I don't know exactly why Paul put that in the middle of this thing. I don't know if Paul was like on some, you know, like ADD trip, and he was just like, you know, do this, do this, do this. Oh, there's some lazy people in the Church of Rome. Let me throw that in the middle of this to, you know, really hit them. I don't know why Paul put this never be lazy in the middle of it, because it almost doesn't fit. Everything else is something like, you know, a relational characteristic, but never be lazy. And so I don't know if Paul wrote that as it's a separate command or if it goes with it, but I would like to think that the reason that in the middle of these relational commands, Paul said never be lazy is because the easiest thing that you can do in a hard relationship is to let someone go. That's lazy. It's lazy to dismiss people that disagree with you. It's lazy to say, oh, you don't vote like me, you don't look like me, you say things that I disagree with, you're out of my life. That's lazy. You know what's really hard? It's really hard to have a conversation with a friend who tells you something about their personal life, about a struggle they're going through, and everything in you is saying, what you're doing is sin, and yet I'm not going to let go of this relationship. That's hard. I don't know if you've ever had or experienced a friend who has come out of the closet, but as a Christian, that's an awkward, it can be a difficult conversation. And how do you respond in that moment? I don't know if you've ever had a conversation where someone has come out and said, hey, listen, we're dating, we're not married, and yet we got some news and she's pregnant. Well, in that moment, you may not approve of what happened, but how are you going to treat them? Are you going to put yourself in their shoes and say, you know what, there's lots of things in my life. I've messed up lots of times, and I may not be able to relate to your sin, but I know my sin. And I may never have experienced exactly what you're struggling with, but I've experienced my sin. I know how my sin is a struggle. I know how my sin is a temptation. So I can easily put myself in your shoes even when I've never experienced what you're doing. I can relate to you. And as a Christian, we've got to love each other with genuine affection and stop being lazy in relationships. Love each other even when they're difficult, even when they're messy. Have difficult conversations. Paul then goes on to say in Romans 12, 14 through 16, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Now, this week I did some research on empathy, and I was reading what some of the experts talk about with empathy, and I came across a list of the four qualities of empathy. And in this list of the qualities of empathy, the author did not say what inspired their research or how they figured out that these were the qualities of empathy, but I read these qualities and I thought, man, they fit exactly with what Paul is telling us to do in these verses. And I want to show you how similar they are. There are four qualities to empathy that if you're going to be empathetic of another person, these are the qualities that you must possess. Quality number one is taking on their perspective as truth. Taking on their perspective as truth. Taking on their perspective as truth does not mean that what they believe is true. It's that you know that they believe it's true, and because they believe it's true, it's driving their actions. It may be false. It may be the dumbest, most idiotic thing anyone's ever believed in the history of the world. But in order to be empathetic, you've got to assume and believe that what they believe is truth to them. And look at what Paul said. Paul says taking on their perspective as truth, it means that you try to see it from their perspective. And Paul said, don't curse them, bless them. When someone disagrees with you, when someone persecutes you, you know what's natural? It's natural to curse them. But Paul says, no, don't curse them. Bless them. I don't know how in the world we can do that unless we show empathy. Because as long as I'm looking at someone and saying, they're an idiot, I can't believe they believe that, they are so lost, they are so wrong, as long as I'm looking at how wrong and evil they are, I'm never going to be able to bless them. But when I put myself in their shoes, and I can think just for a second, how would I want people to treat me if I was going through what they're going through? So I'm going to throw up a blessing. I'm going to bless them instead of cursing them, even though they're wrong. Number two is suspend your judgment. Suspend your judgment. Paul says, don't think that you know it all. I love that. Don't think that you know it all. When someone posts something on Facebook and you just say, that is the dumbest thing ever, well, don't think that you know it all. You don't know their background. You don't know why they posted that. You don't know what they believe. When someone brings up an awkward conversation at the Christmas dinner table, you don't know why they brought that up or what's going on with them. You don't know why they're voting the way that they're voting or what they believe, why they believe it. You don't know. And when someone offends you, instead of believing the worst about them, you've got to choose to believe the best. And so you're going to suspend judgment. Suspending judgment means until I can get to the bottom of why you believe what you believe, I'm not going to assume that you are a dirty, rotten, awful human being. I'm going to suspend my judgment. I'm going to believe there's still some good in you, even though we disagree. Suspend your judgment. Number three is recognize their emotion. Recognize their emotion. Did you catch what Paul said in our verse? He said, be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Can I just talk about something that might be a little touchy subject just for a second? One of the things that I see a lot in our culture is that when races disagree, there isn't a lot of empathy. And if you're a white person, like I'm a white person, it's very easy when a minority posts something on Facebook or online, or you see what they say in an interview on the news, it's very easy to dismiss what they believe because it's different than how you were raised or your background or what you think or your experience with the world. But what does Paul say? Paul says, weep with those who weep. And so you may not agree, you may not understand, you may have a totally different perspective. But in our world, as a Christian, we are called to weep with those who weep and find a way to be happy with those who are happy. How different would America be today if just the Christians learned how to show empathy in this way? If we said, you know what, your heart's breaking, and I don't even agree with why it's breaking, but because it's breaking, I'm going to sit here and cry with you, and I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to hear your perspective. And even though we may disagree, you're hurting, so I'm going to sit here and hold you and comfort you and listen to your perspective. And even at the end of the day, if we disagree, I'm going to find a way to put myself in your shoes and cry. Why? Because you're crying. Recognize their emotion. It is so easy to dismiss other people. Like, you're just being a baby. Oh, you're just being, that's not true. That's not really how the world is. It is so easy to dismiss other people. But Paul says, listen, no, no, no. You weep with those who weep, and you're happy with those who are happy. And number four is communicate that emotion. Four qualities of empathy. Taking on their perspective is true. Suspend your judgment. Recognize their emotion. And number four, communicate that emotion. If you keep stuff inside, it's going to drive you crazy. If you keep stuff inside, just bottle up, eventually it's going to come out and explode on someone. And so Paul says that the way that you need to communicate about what's going on inside of you is that you pray for those who persecute you. You communicate it. You talk about it. You say, you know what? There are people in my life who annoy the living daylights out of me. God, would you bless them? God, we got invited to go over to dinner tonight, and I already know what she's going to say. I know she's going to bring up this article that I totally disagree with, and I'm going to go in, I'm going to lead with it, I'm going to tell her off. No, instead of doing that, you say, God, would you give me so much grace to put myself in their shoes? God, would you allow me to bless them even though I want to punch them in the face? God, would you give me empathy towards those who I disagree with? Not that you agree with them, not that you believe what they believe, but you put yourself in their shoes, that you say, you know what, based off the way that you were brought up, based off your view of things, based off your experiences, it makes sense to me why you believe what you believe. I still don't believe that, but I'm not going to hate you for believing what you believe. Paul then writes, and this is the last section that we're going to cover today. Paul writes in Romans 12, 17 through 18. He says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Did you catch what Paul just said? Never pay back evil with more evil. Something that's been fascinating to me, this year, 2015, on social media, it has been the year of drama. Like, when I first got on Facebook, I don't remember it being, like, so controversial or dividing. Like, people would, like, poke you, and, you know, that was kind of annoying, but it's like, oh, well. And then even before that was MySpace, and people would post, like, their music or stuff, and it was, like, fun to, like, actually get online. You look forward to it. Every other week this year in 2015 is some controversy that just drives all of us crazy, either one way on one side or the other side. There's things about gun control, Syrian refugees, the stupid Starbucks red cups, like, there's things that have just been exploding all over social media. And I don't know if you remember, I don't know how close you follow social media, but a handful of months ago, one of those controversies was about a dentist who went over to Africa and shot a lion, and the lion was named Cecil. And for a week, this exploded over social media, and there were people who saw both sides of this. There are some people who were just like, you know, he has every right to hunt if he wants to hunt, and there are other people who were like, no, it is so wrong that he would take Cecil's life. And I tried to read both sides of this to try to get some type of perspective. And it was interesting to me that those that felt very strongly that the dentist should not have killed Cecil the lion, in the comments of their post, the number one thing that was brought up was people would say, since he killed Cecil, we should kill him. And I see this all the time. I see this all the time. Every time our president does something that people disagree with, someone starts talking about someone should kill him. Really? What does Paul say? Paul says, never pay back evil with more evil. You want to know the solution to evil in the world? It's not doing the same thing. It's doing the opposite. And when someone brings hate to you, you know as a Christian what you're supposed to bring to them? Love. And when someone brings darkness, you know what you bring to them? Light. And when someone is selfish, you know what you bring to them? Generosity. You bring the opposite of what they bring. You can clap. I won't stop you. As a Christian, the only way to change the world is not by forcing people to agree with what we believe. The way you change the world is bringing something opposite to what the world gives them. And whenever there is hate and discord, we bring love and peace. You do not fight evil with evil. I saw this. It was so just kind of, it blew my mind a little bit. That I wrote this talk on Thursday, and I typically write the talks on Thursday. And later in the week, like on Friday night or Saturday, I got on Facebook, and someone from our church posted this graphic, and I thought it fit perfectly with today. It's going to come on the screen. It says, grace is when somebody hurts you, and you try to understand their situation and instead of trying to hurt them back. Grace is when somebody hurts you, and you try to understand their situation instead of trying to hurt them back. Why is this so important for us today? Well, it's so important because it is your sin that put Jesus on a cross. And how did Jesus repay you? He loved you. He didn't crucify you. He didn't come after you. He didn't force you to believe exactly what he believes. You put him on the cross. I put him on the cross by our sin, and yet Jesus showed us so much love and grace. And as a Christian, we are to do what Jesus has done for us. And Paul ends this section by saying, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. Everyone else may not be playing by your rules. Everyone else may not be bringing peace. Everyone else may be bringing evil to the conversation, but you do all that you can. I think that if Paul were here today, he would say, you do you. Have you ever heard that phrase, you do you? Often it's said when someone is like wearing something just ridiculous and you're like, you do you, man. They get a really bad haircut and you don't know how to tell them it's bad. You do you, girl. You rock that. Bangs. You do you. But Paul is saying, listen, you do you. As long as it depends on you, you do everything that you can to bring peace. Here's why this is so important. When someone offends you, when someone annoys you, when someone bothers you, instantly your mind starts thinking about how wrong they are, how evil they are, how messed up they are. And instead of thinking about them, Paul says, no, you do you. You think about yourself and you think about what you can bring to the table. Because as long as it depends on you, you're going to offer them something that they don't deserve. Is this easy? No. Because listen, our world is getting more and more divided. And Christians should be bringing something to the table. We shouldn't just be screaming about, hey, listen to us, share our opinion. Christians should be bringing something to the table that is noticeable to those who do not agree with us. And so we work at bringing empathy to those who don't deserve empathy. If you're looking for some application, something practical to do with this talk, this is it. When someone annoys you, offer them empathy. This week, when someone annoys you, offer them empathy. Put yourself in their shoes for just a moment. Try to think, why would they do that? Why would they act that way? Why would they say that? Put yourself in their shoes. It doesn't mean that what they did or what they said is right or truth. It just means that you're going to, for the good of the relationship, you're going to offer them empathy. Would you guys pray with me? God, thank you so much for this day, and thanks for God giving us some practical words to try to live by. And we just ask that we would receive what you've so graciously given to us, that we would receive your grace and your love, and that God, as a response to what you've done for us, that we would offer it to other people. God, we just ask that you would just capture our hearts, that you would do something inside of our brains and inside of our hearts, that God would just help us, that you would allow us to love people that are difficult. God, we must do this because this is what you do for us. You don't sit there and judge us because of our sin. You don't hold our sin and our actions against us, but you forgive us and you give us what we don't deserve. You give us so much love. So God, would you help us? Would you help us to return the gift that you've given to us? We ask this week, as people annoy us, God, that we would show empathy. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.